With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. And I was watching a baseball game yesterday. I'm a big sports fan, and just to have any sports back is exciting for me to sit on my couch in my home, something I've hardly done in the last 5 months, and watch a live ball game. Watching a baseball game yesterday, the Yankees were playing the Philadelphia Phillies, and because there is nobody in the stands, except for a bunch of cardboard cutouts. And some of the stadiums are funny what they're doing with cardboard cutouts. They're putting historical figures, cardboard cutouts of all different kinds of... They had the pensioner from the 1930s sitting in the front row. And they have all different kinds of... You know, it's interesting. The Oakland A's had... They have cardboard cutouts, and one of the cardboard cutouts they have standing in the aisle selling hot dogs is none other than a young Tom Hanks.
Right.
Because Tom Hanks grew up in Oakland, and when he was young, when he was in high school, he did that for a job. He was actually a hot dog vendor at the Oakland Coliseum.
I think it was the White Sox Stadium. Some guy, like, had a whole box full of cardboard cutouts of himself. Like, he bought enough for the whole suite, like the VIP section. It's like 100 cardboard cutouts, and it's just all just him in the same cardboard cutout in all the seats. Just him in the first row, second row, third row, all the different aisles, just the same guy.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. It's pretty funny, some of the cardboard cutouts you see. But yesterday, I'm watching the Yankees game. They're playing at the Philadelphia Phillies, and cardboard cutouts, they make no noise. So when the umpire made a bad call on a called third strike against the Yankees, their third base coach went on a tirade. That's bleeping bull bleep, you mother. And it went on
the score.
And it went on for a while, and the umpire threw the third base coach out. But not before the third base coach of the Yankees got in about 15 or 20 F-bombs, bull bleep bombs, you mother bleeper bleeping this. And again, I guess if there's 30,000 fans in the stands, you don't hear that. But because there's no fans in the stands, you heard it. And I have surround sound. And so, man, that tirade lit up my living room with F-bombs and bull bleeps and... Until the umpire ended up, and even after he threw the third base coach out, the third base coach then ran out, and as he was running out, swearing, because once you've been thrown out, you still want to get your money's worth because you've just been thrown out.
Right.
And the third base coach is running out, trying to put his face mask on, so he can light up the umpire and call him a mother bleeper with so many F-bombs. And so many bold bleeps, but he had to be health conscious with coronavirus. So he's screaming, swearing at him while he's putting his face mask on. It was very funny.
So baseball, it's a traditionalist sport, meaning that once the umpire says something, even though everybody knows it's a blown call, they just have to go with what the umpire says. There's no instant replays
anymore. Well, the umpire will only throw him out If it's blatant and it shows him up in front of the audience, whether it's the people in the stands, which there were none yesterday, or the people at home, you could call the umpire every name under the book, a mother bleeper of the, if you're not looking at him. You could be turned around looking at the ground as long as you're not looking at him because you're not showing him up. You could call him a mother bleeper 50 times.
No, I mean that once the umpire had blown, once it's proven that the umpire has blown a call, everybody know the call is bad.
Yep.
They just have to go with the call.
Yeah,
that's what I mean by that. It's not like other sports where...
Well, with balls and strikes, yeah. But if he blows a call of a guy sliding into a base or a close play at first base, or even if a home run is fair or foul, they can use instant replay for that now.
And you was telling me that this particular umpire is the worst umpire. Why?
His name is Angel Hernandez. And every
what makes him the worst?
He's had the worst. He makes the most wrong calls of any umpire in baseball. And he's been an ump now for 25 years.
Wow.
Right around there. but still, even if you're bad, you're tendered. But over the last year or two, they do have instant replay with a lot of calls. But balls and strikes, no instant replay with balls and strikes. And I think that's coming next because you can put a little computer chip over home plate, and it can always go beep every time it's a strike. And I think they're going to be going to that at some point because these umps still miss so many balls and strikes like yesterday. And they could still have an ump standing behind home plate for other things, just not calling balls and strikes.
I got you.
That's coming.
So the umps
because
will be
they,
like...
because they have the technology, and the umps still get so many of them wrong. And you could say, I mean, the pitches are coming in, Coleman, in the mid-90s mile an hour, and players are different heights. Like for the Yankees, you've got Aaron Judge, who's 6'8", and on the Houston Astros, you've got Jose Altuve, who's barely even 5'8". So the strike zone is kind of different. But they're going to be going to that in the very near future, and that'll join the rest of the calls that now go to instant replay if they're really close, because the teams, as soon as the play's over, they can look at the instant replay instantly and they can see it. And they know if the ump got it right or wrong. And if the ump got it wrong, the manager just stands on the top of the dugout steps and he makes a hand gesture to say, go look at it on the instant replay. They know instantly if they got it right or wrong.
Cool.
And so, but that was, it was funny watching this third base coach of the Yankees, every other word, F and this, and it lasted for 30 seconds. and he runs out and he's trying to get his face mask on as he's calling this guy every four-letter name in the book. He's got to get his face mask on for health conscious, for health, to be safe health-wise during a coronavirus. So, anyways, they're trying to play sports, and I just thought that was pretty entertaining. Hey, coming up on the show, the students haven't even gotten back to class yet in Jefferson Parish, and teachers who are already there setting up their classroom have tested positive for coronavirus. Here we go. We'll have the latest on that coming up here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. And if you're just joining us, we were just talking about, the show starts at 5:30. And by the way, we start every morning at 5:30. And if you only listen for a few minutes while you're driving to work, if you only listen for a little while, maybe in this hour, the 6 a.m. hour or the 7 a.m. hour or the 8 a.m. hour, we have the podcast of our full show that's up right after our show every morning, and it's available at bayou957.com. We talk about all different kinds of stuff. And so if you're only able to listen for a little while on your way to work or whatever the case may be, again, it's a quick and easy listen. We put it up there every morning right after we're done here, and go check it out on our website, bayou957.com. But I was just talking about how yesterday I was watching a baseball game, because I'm a big sports fan, and after we're 5 months in now to coronavirus, and the fact that they're playing baseball, that sports is coming back, and the NBA has restarted. In there, they have a bubble, unlike baseball. The NBA, all of their teams that are still playing, that they're finishing their regular season, and then they're going to have their whole playoffs in a bubble down there at Disney World in Orlando, Florida. Baseball has no bubble, and they've had a little bit of an issue. Two different teams have had outbreaks of coronavirus on their teams. First, it was the Florida Marlins. And I guess a few of their players went out somewhere, whether it was to a strip joint or wherever they went, and then a bunch of their players, half their team, got coronavirus. And they were still able to win a series, 2 out of 3 games, against the Philadelphia Phillies, even with half their team having coronavirus. They were shut down for about a week, and they've restarted playing their games. And then another team, the St. Louis Cardinals, evidently, a few of their players went to a casino, and then half their team, about half their team, and some of the traveling party with their team got coronavirus. They were shut down for upwards of a week, and they're gonna try to start up again tomorrow. Those have been the two instances in Major League Baseball. I mean, it could have been a lot worse. But it hasn't been, and they've been testing everybody on every team pretty much every day, and those have been the two instances. And I'm sure the NFL is watching what is happening with Major League Baseball.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, they test them every day, Coleman, but if the players don't listen, if the players still go out to a strip joint, a few of them, or if they still go out to a casino like we've seen a few of them, they're going to spread this crap. And the players need to think, look, we need to get paid. We're at our jobs. If we don't want this stuff to spread, we get tested. We need to still do what we're supposed to do to continue to keep baseball going, to continue this. And we have to be responsible and not go out to public places and do things if we want to continue with our job and we want to save the baseball season. They have to be responsible and not do those things. But anyways, the reason I brought it up because there's no fans in the stands. And yesterday, watching the Yankees-Phillies game, the home plate umpire, Angel Hernandez, who I said he blew a call. He called a strike when it was really a ball, and the Yankees, it was on the Yankees, and their third base coach went nuts. And because there's no one in the stands, he started screaming at the umpire, "You stupid mother bleeper, bleep you, bleep this, you dumb, that was a bull bleep call, you stupid mother bleeper." And you, I have surround sound. And there was probably 20 or 30 swear words that just lit up my living room. And the funniest part about it, well, that was funny, but the other funny part about it was once the home plate umpire, whose name is Angel Hernandez, and I said he's the worst umpire in Major League Baseball, and it's a known fact. If you don't believe that, just Google worst umpire in baseball, ? Worst base umpire in MLB, Major League Baseball, ? Just Google that, and his name is going to be the first name that you see, and you'll see it over and over again. I mean, he's been an ump for 25 or 27 years. He's got tenure, I guess, even though he's the worst. But the other funniest part about that yesterday was watching the third base coach of the Yankees run to the umpire trying to put his mask on, because once he got thrown out, he was going to go get his money's worth. And that's what you can do in baseball. And he's running towards Angel Hernandez, swearing at the same time that he's putting his mask on to try to be safe health-wise. And just watching older guys in baseball uniforms is funny. You know, they wear baseball uniforms just like the players, and they're tucked in, but they got big bellies. And it's funny how they, unlike any other sport, they wear the uniform that the players play in.
Angel must get paid a good little bit, because if I knew that everybody knew I was the worst umpire in MLB history, I would wake up and try to be a little bit better. But it doesn't seem like he cares that much. He still blows calls.
No, he cares. He just sucks. He just sucks, Coleman. I mean, he's just bad. But I guess there's nothing they can do, because when you're tenured that long, you're in. But let me just finish why I brought this up again, because I said in a bunch of the different baseball stadiums, because there's no stands, some of the stadiums, they have cardboard cutouts in the first few rows to try to make it look normal. And in Oakland, California, there's a cardboard cutout of, and you can see it every pitch because it's right behind home plate, but it's in one of the aisles. And the cardboard cutout is a cutout. He's standing in the aisle and he's selling hot dogs. He's got the hot dog thing around his neck and he's selling hot dogs, and it's Tom Hanks. It's a young Tom Hanks. He's got longer hair, but it's because when he was growing up in Oakland, he had that as a job when he was a kid at Oakland A's games selling hot dogs. So they have a cardboard cutout of him doing that. And I brought up the name Tom Hanks yesterday on the show, because some of my Facebook friends are absolutely convinced that he's a pedophile. And because his name was on a list of names of people who flew to Jeffrey Epstein's pedophile island, Pedo Island. And I have several of my friends that, and they share this stuff. And Coleman, I just showed you a few minutes ago, another meme of Tom Hanks being a pedophile, or saying that he's a pedophile. And that's why he just, along with his wife, got citizenship and became an official citizen of the country of Greece. And because Greece doesn't look at pedophiles and pedophilia the way the United States does. Here in America, of course, it's a crime because they're sick Fs, people that have sex with kids. But in Greece, pedophilia, it's not looked at as a crime the same way. It's looked at as a mental disorder. And so there's a lot of people sharing memes that are saying that's why him and his wife did that. Now, if I'm his wife, why would I stay with a man, especially that rich, who's a pedophile, when they live in California, when if she wanted to divorce him, she would get half of everything that he's worth? If I'm his wife, Rita Wilson, who, by the way, is beautiful, and Tom Hanks has kids, why would the wife stay with a pedophile instead of just taking him for half his worth?
That's just one of the many loopholes in his whole theory. I don't buy it. I don't think Tom Hanks is a pedophile.
Well, I hope he's not, and I don't think so either. But if I'm Tom Hanks at this point, I have a press conference. I look in the camera. I look at the world in the eye and say, I am not a pedophile. I have never had sex with anybody underage. I am not a pedophile, no matter what you see on the internet, because I have a lot of Facebook friends, Coleman. Some of them who I have respect for, they share this stuff about Tom Hanks being a pedophile. They share it all over the place. And as I said on the show yesterday, when I was talking about this, you know, whether this is a conspiracy theory, because there are conspiracy theorists out there and you see them all over the internet, there's something called QAnon.
Mm-hmm.
And they're the ones who are convinced that not only Tom Hanks, but there's a lot of other Hollywood celebrities and rich, famous political people who are also pedophiles, and they have so much money that they're in control of the United States of America, and all their money can buy their freedom and buy everybody else's silence or keep them out of prison.
Well, if Tom Hanks was a part of that group, he wouldn't have to go to Greece. He'd be safe in America. See, they're saying that he's going to Greece because he might get in trouble when his list comes out. But if these people are so powerful and that they can buy their freedom, he wouldn't have to leave America. You get what I mean?
And evidently, his name and other famous rich people's names are on this list that got on an airplane and flew to Jeffrey Epstein's pedophile island. But if they were that rich, and that, why would they have their names on a list that got on an airplane that went to an island where pedophilia is happening?
Yeah, you wouldn't use your real name. You wouldn't. You use a fake. Or you wouldn't even write your name on the list. Why would you write a flight log knowing you were going somewhere where he's about to do something illegal? That's like saying, I know I'm about to sell crack in Cuba, so let me write my name on the flight log where the cocaine is in the plane. Yeah, like, I wouldn't do that.
I don't get it. That's why I don't believe this, the conspiracy theory stuff. And like you were saying yesterday, they can kind of connect everything that's happening, pedophilia to coronavirus to the explosion that just happened in Lebanon and Beirut, to the racial tension that we're having here in the United States. The conspiracy theorists, they can connect, or at least they try to connect all mm-hmm. of these. You see? You see? I told you. You see? But let me just finish by saying this. If I'm Tom Hanks, I have a press conference like Ellen DeGeneres just had.
Right.
By the way, her name is involved in this pedophilia stuff as well. I look in the camera, I look at the world in the eye, and I say, I am not a pedophile. I have never done sex with underage children. And I think he needs to do that, because every day, and I know we have different Facebook friends, but every day on Facebook, I see Facebook friends of mine talking about that, sharing memes about that, how Tom Hanks is a pedophile. I think he needs to look in the camera, have a press conference for the world and say, I am not a pedophile.
And here's why I disagree. I think you believe everybody is saying he's a pedophile, and it's everywhere only because your circle of friends, like you see it on your Facebook feed all the time. So that gives you the perception that everybody's talking about this. But CNN isn't talking about it. Fox isn't. Like, the majority of the world isn't talking about it. It's just that fringe group, that small, minute group of conspiracy theorists. So if I'm Tom Hanks, I'm like, screw those guys. It's kind of like saying if somebody came out and said John Osterlin is a reptilian alien from outer space, and only like your Facebook friends might put that out there, but that's it. Nobody else in the world will believe it. So you wouldn't have to come out and say, I'm not a reptilian alien from outer space, because everybody would know that those are just a fringe group of conspiracy theorists that really don't have any consequence at the end of the day.
I think enough people are spreading that, though.
I don't think so. When it makes national news, then maybe.
It's not making national news because, according to the conspiracy theorists,
right,
the news is behind this. You know, the news are part of the rich and powerful people who are covering up for these folks. It's the conspiracy theory thing. But if I'm Tom Hanks, I definitely release a statement, have a press conference, and tell the world, you know, if you're innocent, if you're not this, you stand on the highest, tallest mountain, you stand on the roof of the tallest building, and you scream to the world, this is not me, I am not a pedophile, I have never done sex with underage children.
If I was Tom Hanks, I'd say prove it. I'd say go ahead and prove it.
No, because that would then fuel more of the fire.
And it doesn't matter what
I want to see proof too. That's what I tell my friends that spread this stuff on the internet. I'd say I'm afraid that I would be sued for libel or slander or something like that. Because I want to see the, show me the proof or shut up. One or the other. But wouldn't it be heartbreaking and crushing if that were true about Tom
Hanks? Of course it would.
I would be heartbroken because he's been in so many great movies and I don't believe it. I just wish he would have a press conference, look in the camera and say, look, I am not who you say, who these conspiracy theorists say I am. I just wish he would do
and
that.
And the conspiracy theorists say, that's what you would say.
Yeah, so. It would never end. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Actor Ryan Reynolds has just made some news. He's apologized for holding his wedding to actress Blake Lively at a South Carolina plantation. But inexplicably, he still hasn't apologized for Green Lantern. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. You know what starts tomorrow? The annual Sturgis Motorcycle Rally up there in Sturgis, South Dakota. It's the biggest motorcycle party rally every year. And some people are freaking out this year because of coronavirus. They're expecting at least 250,000 people, even though they didn't advertise it as much this year because of coronavirus, and they didn't want as many people, many bikers, to go up there this year as normal because of the pandemic. But that's fascinating. Are you familiar with that? I think that television. I've never been. I've had friends who have gone. I used to work with a woman named Michelle. She lives down here. Her husband's a biker. And I know a couple of times she's hopped on the back of his bike. And they've driven on a motorcycle from New Orleans all the way up to Sturgis, South Dakota. And this year is going to be the 80th year, the 80th edition of the Sturgis Motorcycle Rally. That town up there, only 7,000 people live in that town. So when they get hundreds of thousands of people to go to this every year, for a lot of people there, that's how they make their money for the entire year.
Wow.
Yeah, it brings in almost $1 billion worth of cash. In past years, attendees have spent up to and around $800 million at the rally. And I've seen there's been some fun television shows that focus around the Sturgis Motorcycle Rally every year. Do you think they're going to be wearing masks, Coleman? Are you going to tell 250,000, 500,000 bikers to put on masks to cover their mouths?
I don't know if you have to, because every time I see bikers, they always have like a bandana covering their nose and their mouth anyway. Sometimes the bandana has like little skulls and little cute little designs on it. So I don't think you'd have to tell them to wear a mask. They'd already come with a little bandana, then they wear helmets over that. So, yeah.
So you think many of the bikers will just move the bandanas over their mouths to protect from coronavirus?
Yeah, because they already have bandanas over their mouths when they ride to stop bugs and insects from getting into their mouth when they ride. So I don't think they're going to have a mass problem.
But that's the biggest motorcycle event every year up at Sturgis. And so we'll see what happens. It starts tomorrow and it goes for 10 days. It starts tomorrow and then it goes... until a week from Sunday.
Cool.
That'll be. We'll see what happens. I'm sure there's going to be a lot more attention paid to that this year than in years past, simply because of the coronavirus. And we're going to see if all of a sudden now with bikers, coronavirus is going to start spreading.
The most interesting thing about biker culture is the old ladies. I love those chicks. Just the
and they're not even that old. That's what the girlfriends are, the wives. Yeah, the old lady. Just hop on the back, like my friend Michelle.
Just ride. Wherever he goes, I go, I guess.
So we'll pay attention to that to see what happens up there this coming weekend. And speaking of wearing masks, coming up on the show, have you heard of mask mouth? Dentists have named it mask mouth because wearing the mask all the time gives you some dental problems, a lot like meth mouth. What they named, dentists named it after people that use methamphetamine, meth heads. Look what it does to their teeth. I know, that kind of sucks, huh?
Yeah, we have to get into this. I'm kind of confused.
Yeah, I'll give you some details, including stank breath if you wear the mask all the time. Stay tuned for that coming up here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlind Morning Show. As school around here gets ready to start, have you decided yet if you're sending your kids back to school or if you're going to have them start the school year at home with the virtual learning programs that all of the schools around here now in Jefferson Parish and St. Tammany Parish and in here in New Orleans as well, parents have the option to either send their kids back to the classroom. Are you gonna do that, or are you gonna keep them at home for a while because of coronavirus and do the virtual online learning? I know in Jefferson Parish, if you just saw the news, teachers went back on Monday to prepare their classrooms for the students, and already a handful of teachers have tested positive for coronavirus.
Oh.
I know, that sucks. The kids haven't even gotten back to school yet. Just 3 days into reporting for work, a handful of Jefferson Parish teachers have already tested positive for COVID-19. And they're having rallies. I don't know if you've seen some of the rallies, the protests that some of the teachers and the people who are supporting teachers are having outside of schools, saying you can't send us back to schools yet because coronavirus. And even though, and we've talked about this at length on the show, even though coronavirus has a 99% or 98%, whatever it is, survival rate, most people who get coronavirus, they get it, they feel bad for a few days, and then they recover. You got to be careful, because those people who get it could spread it to people who are more vulnerable. And we've always told you about the three groups that you know about: the elderly, the people who are already sick, and the obese people. And those are the ones who have to, they're the most vulnerable. Those are the ones you got to watch out for. Those are the ones who die of coronavirus. But what are you doing with your kids? And what do you think? You know, I saw some memes going around social media saying teachers should be paid more money if they're quote unquote essential. But you could say that about other essential workers as well. And of course, I think teachers should be paid more money. But the problem is, you know, when you talk about public school teachers, they're being paid by taxpayer dollars. They don't work in the private sector, obviously. They get paid by taxpayer dollars, and there's a budget. Sure, do I think teachers should be paid more money? Absolutely. It's one of the most important jobs we have in this country. But then again, you look at the other people, the quote-unquote frontline workers who have been working for the last 5 months during this whole coronavirus situation, people that work at Walmart, in a store that people that work in grocery stores. They don't make that much money, but they're quote unquote on the front line. They're essential. They're working in jobs that people need to keep them alive, selling them food, keeping people's refrigerators and cupboards with food and food on people's tables. But you could text us. I mean, we're going to be seeing this when it comes to coronavirus. We saw it with a couple of the baseball teams who we were talking about. You know, now we're seeing it with some teachers in the classrooms. It's here. It's going to be here. And this is what bothers me the most about being stuck in phase two for the rest of the month of August. Because at the end of August, our governor, John Taco Bell Edwards, is going to step to the microphones again. And he's going to either say, well, we're going to advance to stage three, or we're going to be stuck here in phase two for another few weeks. But even if he says we're going to advance to phase three of the reopening of the economy because of coronavirus, once we do that, we're going to see the numbers go up again with people that have coronavirus because it's here. We're going to see that for the rest of this year. We're going to see it into next year. And now they're saying they're going to have a vaccine for it by the beginning of the year, and they're going to get millions of vaccine, millions of shots out to people all over the country.
How do they know that, though? How do they know how long it's going to take for a vaccine to happen? How do they know whether a vaccine is going to work, and how can they project when it's supposed to happen? Like, I don't – yeah, because right now it's uncertain how the virus even works sometimes. There's so many mixed messages about how it spreads and what type of virus it is and how it affects you, that how are they even certain that they are going to have a vaccine around this time?
I don't think they're 100% certain, Coleman.
Then why give people false hope
about anything? But they're saying they have sped up trying to produce this vaccine, this cure for coronavirus, and they don't know 100% if it will. And you know, something else they don't know, if you've already had it, and I'm convinced that anywhere from whatever numbers you see of coronavirus cases locally or nationally here in the country, in my opinion, you can multiply that by 5 times or 10 times. I say anywhere from 5 times to 10 times the amount of people have it or had it than they're reporting, because you know, obviously not everybody has gotten tested, and there's a lot of people who got sick for a few days, and I'm raising my hand. I remember right after Mardi Gras, I said for a few days, man, I very rarely get sick, and I feel like ass right now. And I didn't miss a show. I came in for it, but I remember talking about it on the show. Now, look, I don't know if I had it or not, but we don't know if everybody who had it, like the coach of the Saints, Sean Payton, we don't know just because they had it and they recovered from it, if that means that they can't get it anymore. And usually that's the case. Once you've gotten something, you build up the antibodies in your own body, and then you'll be protected from it in the future. We don't even know if that could be the case with coronavirus, but we don't know 100% if that's the case. Just like we don't know 100% if these vaccines, if the one they come up with is going to work.
This is the most mysterious virus that I've ever seen in my life. Sometimes you find out that it's the most dangerous virus, and it spreads the worst, but yet there's a 99% recovery rate, and you can catch it at a dagger shop drive-thru, but not a Popeye's drive-thru. You know, we can get it at bars, but not at protests, and dogs can get it now. Gorillas can get it. Tigers and cats can get it, but not like, you know, birds. I don't know. This is like the weirdest virus. It has like its people picked or something like that.
Well, it is a strange virus, Coleman. You're right. And we're learning as we go along. That's why there's been so many mixed messages. But what are you going to do now? Again, in Jefferson Parish, they're getting ready to start to go to school, and only 3 days in, with the teachers only there, just setting up their classrooms, a handful of teachers in Jefferson Parish have tested positive for COVID-19. What are you going to do if you're listening right now? Are you sending your kids in, or are you keeping them home in the beginning? And Prep Football said they're going to wait till the first week in October to start. So high school football. And they're waiting for us to move out of phase two into phase three to start. But they've moved everything back basically a month. And they just announced yesterday they're going to start prep football, high school football. They're planning on doing it the first week in October, October 8th. Are you sending your kids in or are you keeping them home? Text us. I want to hear. And please don't text us while you're driving. Keep it short and sweet. And if it's good, we'll read it on the show coming up. 260-9595 here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. The Discovery Channel's Shark Week kicks off this Sunday with Mike Tyson versus Jaws, Rumble on the Reef. The network hasn't revealed exactly how the flesh-eating predator will interact with the shark. I like Shark Week. Coming up next, your texts on whether you're going to send your kids to school after three Jefferson Parish teachers already tested positive for coronavirus and school hasn't started yet. They were just setting up their classrooms. Are you sending your kids to school or are you keeping them home, whether you're in Jefferson or St. Tammany Parish or wherever you are, because of coronavirus? Your texts. And I've got a great story out of Gretna coming up next. You heard that right. A great story out of Gretna. Coming up next, here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. And we had asked you to text us. Are you sending your kids to school? Now the school is getting ready to start. And then we just heard the news out of Jefferson Parish yesterday that a handful of teachers have already tested positive for coronavirus. And the kids aren't even back yet. The teachers go in earlier to get their classrooms set up and such. And there's already been a handful of teachers who have tested positive for coronavirus. Meanwhile, there's a bunch of teachers and other protesters who are protesting the fact that the teachers are being made to go back into the classroom because of this whole situation. We've seen some people protesting that. And now, whether it's Jefferson Parish or St. Tammany Parish, or even here in Orleans Parish, the school districts have given parents the option to either, you can keep your kid home and they virtual learning on the internet, or you can send your kids to school. What are you doing with your kids? And we asked you to text us.
Gulf War Vet says, homeschool for my kids till vaccination is found.
Well, and they're saying that's not going to be until the beginning of next year, at least.
Chip says, my kid has been in daycare this whole pandemic, and yet no one has coronavirus. Imagine that. I'm sending my kids in because most families have two working parents, and I can't afford not to work.
See, that's an issue with a lot of people, Coleman. And look, I've never had an issue with homeschooling. If you're able to do that and you want to do that as a parent, that's up to you. For your own kids, that's your decision. Although there are many quote-unquote experts who say the best place for kids is in school, in the classroom, for social purposes. I've seen that even during this situation because, again, you know, kids who get this, they're if they do get it, they're going to be sick for a couple of days, a few days, and then they're going to recover, and then they're going to be back to normal. That's how this works. But they got to be careful of spreading it to the people that are most vulnerable, and that's the elderly, that's the already sick, and that's the obese.
J-Dog says, I feel like homeschooling is the best option in this scenario. Plus, I'm allowed to teach my kids the thing I want them to learn, the things I want them to learn. They like that, too. Imagine how cool it'd be having a dad named J-Dog. Like, hey, that's your dad over there? Yeah, what's his name? J-Dog.
How about that?
They want us to believe, this is Joel, they want us to believe that this virus is the worst thing ever. Yet St. Charles Parish is sending their kids back to school packed with school buses and overcrowded classrooms, and yet they expect us to take this virus seriously? Here's a cool text. I'm keeping my kids home, not because I'm scared of the virus, but because I would not force my kids to wear a damn mask.
Yeah, and that's what they tell you. And when we mentioned earlier how some dentists are seeing people with mask mouth now, like stank mouth. And that's for people that are wearing the mask too much. You know, they're telling us, look, if If they're telling us, if everybody wears a mask when we go outside and anywhere we have to go here in the state of Louisiana, which is what they're telling us, everything should be open anyways. We shouldn't be stuck in phase two. If we're all wearing masks, why are we still stuck in phase two? I think this stinks. But they say if we, and now this is what they're saying, if everybody wears a mask, it'll stop or severely cut down the spread of coronavirus in just a few weeks. That's what they're telling us.
Well, one of the things people were inquiring about is, if masks work so well, why were they releasing prisoners from jail because of coronavirus fears instead of giving all the prisoners masks?
Yeah.
You know?
And if they do work so well, why are we stuck in phase two? Just open the whole damn economy. Let people open up their businesses again. Let bars and restaurants be full capacity again. If we're all wearing masks. But it's, you see, it's like a double-edged.
Sometimes I think the mayor and the governor just wants to see if they can make everyone do it, like just to flex their powers. I do have the inkling in my mind, like, it's not even about the virus anymore. They just want to see if they can make people comply just to see what kind of power they have and what they can get away with. But that's just my personal conspiracy theory.
Well, Coleman, and they also announced yesterday a high school football season will open 1 month later. They want to open it on October 8th. So it'll be shortened a little bit, but it'll still they want to play. Other high school fall sports are going to go ahead as normal, regularly scheduled time. But football, they want to wait until the first week in October to open, or at least until we're advanced to phase three. But
I think all sports this year, whether it's high school football, college football, baseball, right now that like professional MLB. Football, basketball, no matter who wins the championship, it's all going to be with an asterisk because all the seasons are shortened, games were canceled. Like, nobody's going to, whoever wins any championship won't be recognized as a legitimate champion they say, hey.
No, I don't think that's totally true, Coleman. I mean, look, there will always be an asterisk next to this baseball season. There's no doubt about that. But if you're talking about the kids playing high school football, all right, they don't play quite as many games and they have to start a little bit later, they still at least get to play. I mean, imagine being a senior. This is your last year.
Yeah.
And this is the last time you'll ever play organized football. To have that taken away from you, you know how much that blows?
It does blow.
You know, because of a disease that 99% of people recover from?
Yeah.
That would suck if this was your last year of high school football. I remember those days. So look, hey, we appreciate the texts. And at least you have the option as a parent to either put your kid back in the classroom, or if you have that option, like we heard one person doesn't because they have to work and they can't keep their kid at home to homeschool them. At least they're making that available as well, the virtual online teaching.
And you still have the option to homeschool and not even teach your kids. Just let them have a free extended summer. Like, stretch it all the way out to Christmas. No school at all.
I wouldn't recommend that, Coleman. All right, hey, coming up next on the show, I got a great happy story out of Gretna, of all places. Gretna! Happy! Stay tuned for that coming up on the show here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Boy, some kids are absolutely incredible. In Pakistan, a 9-year-old girl just broke the Guinness Book of World Records when she arranged the elements of the periodic table in 2 minutes and 42 seconds. Wow! 9 years old. When I was 9, I was still trying to get the hang of Mr. Potato Head. I'm having a tough time figuring that thing out. On Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. This is an incredible story. Did you see this guy in Gretna? Just got back to Gretna after kayaking over 2,500 miles down the Mississippi River. Guy lives in Gretna. His name is Joey Cargill. And he arrived home yesterday. He got back to Gretna via a kayak on the Mississippi River. He paddled 2,552 miles down the Mississippi River. He started on June 1st. What's today? August 6th?
Yep.
And he just got back yesterday. So isn't that something? He started on June 1st up in Minnesota. And he made it to Gretna, Louisiana, on August 5th. If that's just June, I don't think it's
a little over a month, 2 months, right?
A little over a couple of months. To kayak 2,552 miles. He went through 10 states. And he said it was always a childhood dream. He fulfilled that childhood dream. And he credited his father for his inspiration to do that. Can you imagine? You know how difficult it would be to put a kayak in the Mississippi River right now here in the CBD and kayak over to Algiers?
Yeah, it'd be extremely difficult. You know, I'm thinking, did he catch a ride up there to Minnesota with the kayak, or did he just drive up there and just leave his car? Those are the kind of questions I have. So did he, like, take an Uber up there? Like, dude, send me to Minnesota with the kayak on top of your
Coleman,
truck.
Coleman, it does not say how he got from Gretna to Minnesota.
To start the trek, you know?
Maybe he flew up there, or maybe he drove up there. But when he got there, he put a kayak in the Mississippi River. He had a paddle. That's it. I'm going to start.
I was going to ask if he'd take bathroom break, but I'm quite sure he was in Poops Creek and he just let it go in the river.
The mayor of Gretna, Belinda Constant, said that he's going to be honored at an upcoming council meeting. The Gretna Council, they're going to get together. They're going to figure out how to honor this guy. But she's not the only one. The lieutenant governor of the state of Louisiana, Billy Nungesser. He was also there. He was standing on the bank of the Mississippi River waiting for Cargill. And he presented him with the official Louisiana ambassador plaque. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
To say now that he's an ambassador of Louisiana. You know what kind of shape you have to be in to kayak over 2,500 miles?
You know how much money you have to spend that much time off kayaking and still be good?
Well, he obviously had something to do during the coronavirus situation.
Yeah, what have you been doing the last 2 months?
I don't think he wore a mask either. He's got a big beard, though. I didn't even have much time to shave over the last couple of months.
Probably not.
If you're kayaking.
You know how much? All right, we just talked about how SpaceX just did a successful splashdown. You know, the guys from space. And then this guy, he just did a two-month trek down the Mississippi River. Imagine doing something that awesome, like splashing down from space and kayaking down the river. Then you got to come back to this poop show and have to wear a mask and go to these stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like, you just had this awesome life in the last 2 months. Now you got to acclimate the regular society where you had to follow these dumb rules and yeah. wear a mask. Like, I mean, dude, I'm a hero. I just got an award from the governor. Now I can't go to Walmart without a mask.
Well, Lieutenant Governor.
Lieutenant Governor.
Governor Taco Bell Edwards was busy talking about coronavirus. But, guy gets out of a kayak after 2,552 miles of kayaking, and then he can't even go in and get something to drink in a local store,
right.
in a gas station, without putting a mask on.
Oh, boy.
How about that? He said that there were some tough times. The weather threw him some curveballs, but he never even thought about giving up. How about that?
That's you can't give up. You'll die. If you did, if you give up, you're in the middle of the river and you die. Unless you move to the bank or something. Pedal to the bank.
Well, Joey Cargill from Gretna is a hero in our eyes for doing that. And, man, yes, he's just in a kayak, the river. He's got a paddle. And that's it. And after a couple of months, he's got a big beard.
We got to do something to outdo him, John. We got to, like, either rollerblade down Mount Everest or something. We got to find something that we can do so we can get a plaque.
Do many people even try to kayak across the Mississippi River? Just going, whether it's from Algiers to here in New Orleans or vice versa?
I don't think so. I think most people go whitewater rafting. They like to do it in streams with the big currents and the rocks so they can bump into stuff. I think the Mississippi River would be too boring for them to kayak.
Well, hey, I'm looking at a picture of this guy. Guy's in incredible shape, and you've got to be to do something like that. So Joey Cargill of Gretna is an official hero from our radio station and our radio show here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Just reading about this grandmother who sued because she got arrested at Disney with CBD oil in her purse. She was at Disney World, and I guess for whatever reason, they looked through her purse. They had her arrested because she had CBD oil in there. And, you know, it's interesting. She's probably going to win this case because there's a lot of positive things health-wise that can come out of CBD oil. But that just got me thinking, you know, this is a generation now where for the first time, we're going to see a lot of grandparents like smoking weed because they came from the 60s, you know, and a lot of grandparents playing video games. I mean, can you imagine? Come on, Grandpa, hurry up. It's time for dinner. I'll be down in a minute. You know, I'm going to do a couple more bong hits and I'm going to finish playing this video game upstairs here.
Yeah, we're at the generation now where the younger generation has to correct the older generation's behavior. Like, come on, Grandma, stop saying that. We're in public. It used to be the other way around.
Yeah, I mean, it's much like sexually transmitted diseases in places like the Villages and where senior citizens go to live. You know, they're running around because of pills now. Mm-hmm. Guys are able to do things, old guys, like they weren't able to do years ago. And yeah, you're right. The generations that are younger have to tell the generations that are older, hey, what are you doing? Watch out.
Mom, put that back down. It's not good for your blood pressure. Stop. Put it down.
Hey, coming up next, it's the dumbest thing I read all morning. And if you've ever ridden in a taxi cab or an Uber, you'll be able to relate to this here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. And it's about that time of our show where I tell you the dumbest thing I read all morning. Taxi driver arrested for attempted murder because his passenger farted.
Ew, yuck.
This is a wild story. And this actually happened in South Korea. In a town called Busan.
Yep, that one.
Yeah. A taxi driver was arrested, again, for attempted murder. What happened was the passenger was in his car. And now I've got the police report in front of me here. It says that the passenger was farting several times in the car. And then it said the taxi driver took a weapon, and the weapon was, I believe, a fishing pole. Because the police report said the weapon was thought to be the equipment that the taxi driver had packed to go fishing on holidays.
Ah.
So, I mean, that's according to the police report, the way it's worded here. Evidently, the passenger in the back seat farted more than... Actually, it says here in the police report, the passenger was farting several times in the car. And then that made the taxi driver upset. The taxi driver took the weapon. Again, the weapon thought to be the equipment that the taxi driver had packed to go fishing on holidays. And began to beat the passenger.
Paya!
The police report says, as a result, the taxi driver wielding the weapon more than 10 times, we are planning to apply the charge of attempted murder.
That's heavy.
Not assault and battery, attempted murder. I guess if you hit a guy, if you beat a guy with a fishing pole, a fishing rod more than 10 times, I wonder where the limit is of how many times you can hit them where it would be assault and battery, and then they say, oh, no, it's not assault and battery anymore. Now it's attempted murder.
I think it depends on the type of fishing pole. Since this is in South Korea, I'm assuming it's one of those Singapore cane bamboo type fishing poles, not the traditional ones that we see in America with the rod and reel. I'm thinking it was like a bamboo, like they look like a sugar cane type. Pow! One of those type. I mean, I cannot fault the taxi driver, though.
And good thing this happened in South Korea, not North Korea. We wouldn't even hear about this story. They would have probably blown up the guy or whatever the case may be.
But you know North Koreans don't fart, man.
Well, I mean, look, I don't blame the taxi driver here. You got to be pretty rude, especially in the backseat of a taxi car, to fart several times. It wasn't just one quick one.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he farted several times, and I don't even know if he rolled down the window or not.
I would have to say, did the taxi driver give him a warning first? Now, if the guy was just letting it loose and then he didn't say anything and then he flipped out and assaulted the guy with the bamboo fishing pole, I would be like, yeah, maybe I can see how the driver's out of line. But if he did warn him and he just kept doing it anyway, like, dude, I can't help myself, yeah, it was kind of rude.
It doesn't say that in the police report I got here. I told you everything I know about this case, which was written in the police report.
Especially the important part, that this guy had bad gas. I wonder what he ate before he got into the taxi.
Well, all I know is that a taxi cab driver in South Korea, who has now been arrested and up on attempted murder charges for beating his passenger in the back seat who farted several times, and he beat him with a fishing pole that he just was going to take on holiday.
Attempted murder. He must have whooped his ass, dude.
Yeah, that's the dumbest thing I read all morning.
You are so dumb. You are really dumb. For real.
Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. I just saw an interview yesterday with Ozzy Osbourne's oldest daughter, Amy Osbourne, who I had never seen before. She was never on the TV show, The Osbournes. And she talked about that in the interview. By the way, she's stunningly beautiful. She is absolutely gorgeous. And she did not want anything to do with that television show. She left the house, the Osbournes' house, when she was 16 years old because the cameras were there filming for the TV show, The Osbournes, that was on MTV. She said that she never wanted to be on television. She said, you know, growing up, she said, I didn't want those awkward years being on television for people to see forever. And when I saw this interview yesterday, A, I couldn't believe how beautiful she was. And B, she was so cool. And she said, she actually left the house because she said, I couldn't deal with the cameras. And she's a musician. She's got a new song and a video out, and it's kind of heavy. But her name's Amy Osbourne. And I was blown away when I saw this interview with her yesterday.
That's a smart decision. And say she made that decision at 16 years old, like she knew, hey, if I go through with this, this will haunt me for the, like, she was thinking forward. She had the foresight to know that this could come back and bite me in my ass if it doesn't go well.
Yeah, she said, you know, it's one thing, she's got, like, it's tough enough having Ozzy Osbourne as your father in life. You know,
yeah, I'm quite sure it is.
Well, but she did that. And as a matter of fact, the mother, Sharon Osbourne, said her daughter Amy, like, leaving the house for a while because the cameras were over, always going, she said that's like what her biggest regret. Isn't that something? But anyways, Amy Osbourne, I gotta get a picture of her up on our website because she I couldn't believe how beautiful she is. Go check out that song too. Hey, it's our commercial free ride right now. We're in it. Kick back and enjoy just a bunch of music with no commercials right now here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.